Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The other shooting at a military base this week happened under much different circumstances than the one this morning in Pensacola. At the Pearl Harbor Naval Base, it was a sailor stationed on a nuclear sub who opened fire on his colleagues, killing two people before taking his own life. Now, he had reportedly some disciplinary issues and was upset with his commanding officers. He was also in counseling at the time of the shooting.
The pattern follows some earlier shootings at bases, leads to broader questions about mental health supports for active duty military members. Dr. Elspeth Cameron Ritchie is the chief of psychiatry at MedStar Washington Hospital Center, retired from the Army, where she served, among other roles, as chief of inpatient psychiatry at Walter Reed Healthcare System. So, doctor, this person was in counseling already, but overall, are people getting the help that they need out there?
Overall, throughout the country, there's an incredible shortage of health care providers, of mental health care providers specifically. This is true in the civilian world, and it is also true in the military.
What did you find, though, in your time in the military in terms of the stress load that apparently afflicts many of these people?
Well, certainly people in the military are under stress. They also, by and large, are quite resilient. They're carefully selected. They're carefully trained. There is kind of a myth out there that frequent deployments lead to problems, and it can in some cases, but when you look at shootings, and of course there's been the shootings at Fort Bragg and Fort Hood and over in Iraq at Camp Victory and some smaller mass shootings in other facilities. I think this is the fourth one at a Navy base so far this year. Usually the precipitant is not combat or deployment, but it's a humiliation or a failure. And very often the humiliation is due to problems at work. Perhaps somebody got passed over, or perhaps they're facing a legal action, or a romantic breakup. So both with suicides and with mass shootings, often it's a feeling of failure and humiliation that leads to the action.
Which are problems that, you know, could be equally seen in the civilian world and are.
That is absolutely true. I'd say there's two important differences in the military. In the military, if, for example, you get a DWI, a driving while intoxicated, that often is the end of your career, and or any other disciplinary problem, it may be the end of your career. And people in the military have often worked very, very hard to get in, to get there. It's actually quite hard to get into the military nowadays. So seeing your career going down the tubes can be a problem. The other thing is people in the military have weapons and they know how to use them.
You know, we were having this discussion in the office earlier that if you look back, and maybe it's because people weren't reporting things the same way they do today, but if you look back at this country's history after World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, did we have the same types of issues with troops who then returned home? Do you know?
We actually don't know because we don't keep very good records, but anecdotally, we had a lot of violence after the Civil War, and many of the Westerns take place right after that. I do think exposure to combat often leaves people fatalistic, hardened, battle-ready, and less likely to care about their life or those of others. Now, what we do know is that all wars produce psychological reactions, whether it's called shell shock or battle fatigue or post-traumatic stress disorder, but we don't know about the shooting of others after other conflicts.
If you were given the power, the money, the resources, whatever it is, and said, okay, you can make one big change, what would that be? What's your recommendation?
It's hard to do it with one big change. The military actually has been trying very hard to decrease suicides and which are far more common, of course, than homicides. And I think in 2009, the Department of the Army had a task force which had something like 250 recommendations. The Department of Defense had another task force. However, there are some common sense things that may or may not have helped in this case. The big one is storing guns safely, and if somebody is in distress, not allowing them access to firearms.
Dr. Elspeth Cameron-Ritchie, Chief of Psychiatry, MedStar Washington Hospital Center, retired from the Army.